I tend not to review books in translation, but I did make an exception some years ago for a vigorous new English edition of Tolstoy's War and Peace, since it was touted as more faithful to the original. It read well, but what do I know? Now, thanks to Damien Searle's new book, The Philosophy of Translation, at least I pretty much know why I've kept away and what I should look for when I take up a novel in a language other than English, especially one that has garnered prestigious prizes or caused a worldwide stir. Searle's a superb scholar who hails from New York City public schools, specializes in translating prose and poetry from German, Norwegian, French, and Dutch, as well as being interested in Asian, African, and Native American languages and dialects. The book might overwhelm were it not for Searle's style, a colloquial, conversational manner that uses active voice, analogies, wit, and humor. He acknowledges his own shortcomings at times and has no hesitation in writing to authors for advice. He particularly dislikes the word faithful, used by translators who think they've nailed it. No one nails it, he argues. Times move with political, cultural, and therefore semantic change. Reading standards shift. The Philosophy of Translation is heady reading, but in introductory remarks, Searles notes that he structured the book in two parts, philosophical theories and comparative examples of word choice, phrasing, sound, force, word order, and movement. He invites readers to jump to these practical sections first if they want. Translation, he says, is reading a text, understanding an author, his times, his milieu, not copying word for word. Tone is significant. If an author, say, is being sarcastic in German, having a character say, good morning, though it's really afternoon, go for that phrasing that admits the sarcasm, the original intention. When Searles takes on the central question of how much a translation should convey a sense of the foreign language or whether it should be domesticated in the translation, he does so with reason, seeing both sides, though he himself leans a bit to foreignness. In fact, he points out, English-speaking readers are bilingual because our own vocabulary has both Latinate and Anglo-Saxon roots. Though Searles explores the relationships between source texts and their target audience, he bridles at such terms and feels that they lead to the fallacy that somewhere there is one faithful rendition. There are no right or wrong translations, he says, but there are those that are better or worse than others. He shows why, and even admits that some translations make him angry, those that distort a forceful original style with, quote, miserable, impenetrable prose. As has been the case with Freud over the years, by translators trying to make him sound scientific, or the critic Walter Benjamin, whose elegance and energy have been flattened into wordiness and academic jargon. The many examples here are telling. Searles wonders if such translators just didn't care, an indictment he extends not just to them, but to their editors, publishers, and reviewers. A good translation, he asserts, is faithful to the author's way of seeing the world, not to literal verbal accuracy. It expresses the bond between language and community, and so the use of language is always a social and political act. Searles is speaking to us, American readers, at a time our nation is changing demographically and linguistically. His book may be challenging, but it is timely and important. I'm Joan Baum.